You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It is IDJ Impact with Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, Rob Ossolari, and welcome to Three Count. We got three good topics for you, and we always encourage you, welcome it. Throw comments in the box. We want to hear your thoughts as well on these topics. Throw it in the chat box if you're watching us through YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook. Throw it in, and we would love to hear what you got to say, okay? With that, we're going to kick off with our three count. Let's do it right now.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
And here is our first.
One.
Backstage news on Tiffany Stratton's WWE status after a controversial social media post. And this is reported on WrestlingInc.com. And it said that if you were concerned that Tiffany Stratton might be the recipient of some sort of punishment by WWE following a controversial social media post, you can put your fears to rest. According to the report from Pro Wrestling Insider, Stratton is facing no punishment whatsoever for the post. And contrary to online rumors, her Queen of the Ring quarterfinal match with Bianca was not pulled, which, of course, we saw that on SmackDown. Now, if you don't know what's going on Tuesday, Stratton posted a fan-made video on her Instagram story that featured a video of herself hitting Jay Cargill with a forearm and knocking her off the ring apron. Now, the video included an audio sampling of a woman saying the words, quote, black bitch, end quote. Now, as Stratton's forearm connects with Cargill, Stratton quickly deleted the video, but not before it had made it into the broader social media ecosystems, and there's been speculation about where she stands with WWE ever since. Now, PWI source claimed that there's no heat on Stratton internally for the post and that her main roster run has received nothing but praise, with management seeing her, quote, as someone with very high upside, end quote. All right. Matt Michaels, this was your story. What you think, man?
It was wonderful that they used a clip of her hitting Jade. That was great because, you know, I mean, that chick deserves it.
Hey, my wife.
You know, I just realized that the free hug shirt actually is Chucky. So you offered your quote-unquote future wife free hugs from a murdering doll. Oh. Very good, boy. Very good. Oh my god. You know, it's funny because the reason I gravitated to this was that random one-liner we got in the one chat room the other day that said from Raven, mm-hmm. Stratton off TV.
Oh,
nothing else, nothing less.
Right.
Just Stratton off TV. And so that just goes to show you how that, you know, this stuff just kind of, it gains its own attention quickly. It makes it like a snowball very fast.
Well, knowing Raven, he watches, I mean, he listens to, not watches, Meltzer. And right. I'm guessing, I don't know. He probably heard something or read something on that side that made him figure that was going to be what was going to happen.
Right, exactly. And so did probably a million other people, right? Mm-hmm. What fascinates me is the fact that here is someone who also has the resources to find out if it's true or not.
Yeah.
And he didn't, right? So he just went with what he heard and might have heard from someone else.
Yeah.
you know, so it's just interesting that this kind of stuff can escalate that quickly. Did she do anything really wrong? Not necessarily. I really don't know the context of the black bitch thing. I don't know what that was even from. And we're reading what John says here. I think Tiffany Stratton acted in character trying to promote a current storyline on social media like a lot of wrestlers do now, and did not fully watch the video before reposting it. She's young and immature, and if you listen to her interviews on Busted Open, she acts like she has no clue of her surroundings at all. I do expect her to receive the Triple H curtain call treatment for some time going on, quite the losing streak as a punishment. I'm assuming, John, that comes from Dave Meltzer, right? unless that's your own opinion, that's a pretty thought out opinion.
Well, you know, listen, clearly she could have posted it and not heard the audio. I'll put it this way. When I read that article you sent me, because I didn't know why when Raven mentioned it in the first place, I didn't go searching to see what she did. Right. When you sent the story in, I said, let me read it. Then they had a link to it of the video. So I clicked the link, and so I see Stratton knocks out Jay Cargo, but the audio wasn't on. So, you know, and I saw it was no more than 3 seconds. And I was like, oh, the audio, let me hit it. So then, of course, I hit the audio, and then I hear her go, it looked like they took that from probably some album or whatever, movie show, whatever, of black women going, black bitch. So, okay, there's a chance she liked what she saw, didn't look at the audio. And she said, oh, I like this, you know, because that's what I do. I'm beating up. I'm knocking out whatever. On the other hand, she could have heard the audio. And if she did hear it, you have to question then what would be the reason why you would. Especially with the context of throwing out the fact that race is a part of it. If it would have been bitch, then that's one thing. Black bitch, now you specifically coming off a little bit like, why are we going there? I still don't believe it's enough to go, she should be off TV, suspend her, she's done. I'm not on that. I'm just saying.
How quickly was it taken down?
That I don't know.
Quick. It wasn't up long. Yeah.
So it seems like I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, and probably, you know, if she did, I don't know if we heard the video or not, but quickly she must have realized this shit is probably not good. I need to remove it. And that's kind of where I stand on that whole thing. But you got to be definitely careful when you go there, because.
But it is, you know, here's a good question, right? If, you know, you just said it, like, okay, if it would have been bitch, it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that kind of ironic, right? Because isn't that even more like, you know, it's twofold when you say black bitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even just putting up, you know, something that's calling her a bitch, and it's not your words,
mm-hmm.
then isn't that like, it's just confusing on why it's confusing lazy. On why the fan even found this funny to put it together and put it up, let alone putting her then in this position of now having to defend it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, she's and listen, let me get you guys to talk, because I'm not really supposed to be doing all the talking, but I just wanted to kind of throw that in that hey, you know, you got to be just very, you know, careful in when you're at this level of being a superstar, what type of things. We know now anything in the media things could just take off. And before you post anything, the question you have to ask yourself is, you know, how is this going to benefit what I'm trying to do? And I think a lot of times that isn't always the case. We're just quick to react because something may look good instead of really looking at the entire context of everything. Let me go over to you, though, Rob. What was your thought? Did you see the video or you just kind of read what?
I read it. And when I understand the context, so it doesn't even, if you're going to do a sampling on a sound effect, mm-hmm. and then you're putting that out there. The reason why I asked if she brought it down quickly is it doesn't come off to me then, if you took it down as quickly as you're describing, that it doesn't come off to me that the person was intentionally doing this for shock value. Because mm-hmm. you're not going to do something for shock value and then yank it off a minute later or an hour later. You're going to go, oh, fuck, I'm going to run this for 8 hours and then I'm going to go, oh, my God, I'm so terribly sorry. What I said was offensive, blah, blah, blah. This seems just like just a fuck up.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it deserves a Triple H curtain call. Triple H curtain call was way more specific. He was, hugging out two guys that he's beefing with kayfabe. And then they have and then post match they all hug it out in the ring because they're going over to WCW.
So you have a problem with guys hugging?
Yes, I do. I'm insecure.
Although he will give out free hugs.
Free hugs. Yes.
So here's the thing. Yeah. My hugs are for Jade Cargill. That black bitch. I never said that. That was the other bald guy. Half black, by the way. And I made him laugh again. Very funny. What I would say is you don't do anything about it. You don't mention it. You don't reference it. You don't have to do one of those "that's not who I am" statements. You just don't. You just go, fuck, it happened. You give it to her. You give her the fucking verbal, corporate bullshit behind the scenes, but she's too over right now and she's on too much of a tear. That being said, with the money that they have, and they need to have somebody just go through and go, hey, look, we're going to put you on notice. We're going to be scanning what you do on your social media for a little while until you can be trusted. That's what I would do. I would have somebody chaperone her social media for a while behind the scenes. If that sounds,
I'll just say this. I don't know why, when it comes to any athlete that eventually moves up from being a high school student, moving up now to a college player, now moving up into the major leagues, there always, and we talk about this a lot, there needs to be some sort of, training or classes on how to do so many things. I mean, how not to spend all your money, how to be careful around social media. You just can't. And I believe in some case WWE probably has these talks with a lot of them. But I just think sometimes you maybe don't.
Years
know.
Ago, we all live here in Las Vegas. Years ago, Larry Johnson was one of the top guys in UNLV and got busted for having a dinner with like a hot tub session with scouts, and they were buying him and schmoozing him and shit. You don't know what you don't know. You're going out blind as hell. I mean, there is no map for this. Entertainment is entertainment, and from the comedian standpoint, when you're posting something, I said something that was deemed offensive at an open mic, and I was responding to a person in the crowd at an open mic, and what I said at an open mic made its way and meandered all the way up to a promoter who kicked me off a show because of something that was said at an open mic at a dive bar. So
just because you said, "Hey everybody, I'm Rob Vassalieri,"
yeah, and then, but that's the thing. So social media is incredibly toxic. There probably needs to be some sort of training or something, because what you would think is understood and common sense is never common sense.
Yeah. Let me go over to your Sense City. What's your thoughts right quick?
All right.
So who made the video?
No, I did. I didn't make the video.
Black bitch.
But the thing that I can tell you is obviously we live in a time where it's almost like as if people are looking for reasons to be offended. People are extremely hypersensitive to virtually anything that you say about them, whether you breathe an incorrect way, whether you mispronounce something, whether you're physically looking a particular way, people will find an issue with it and will try to be offended by it. So that is the culture that we live in now.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, 20 years ago, you know, we had such examples in the WWF or WWE at the time. You know, the Teddy Long, Roddy Mac, White Boy
it's
Challenge.
World Wildlife Fund, sir. Sorry.
The Rodney Mack and Teddy Long White Boy Challenge. That was something that obviously was done 20 years ago. That is something that, you know, obviously wouldn't be done today. But it's race has always had a tie-in in professional wrestling, for better or for worse. And I'm not saying for better, but it's always been that way. And again, I think that we glossed over something at the very beginning of this article. This was a fan-made video. And the thing that I have to wonder about is, was it something that this fan posted to like an Instagram story and tagged her, and then, you know, she reposted it to her story? I didn't see I saw the clip, but I didn't see the actual post, if that makes any sense. So I don't know.
Steve, you're probably right. Probably was.
That's what I would have to figure. But at the same time, it's, you know, we have to be hypersensitive at times. Unless you just go through your day-to-day life and you don't give a fuck who gets pissed off at you, who gets offended by what you say. But when you're dealing with a company like WWE, I don't understand why these men and women don't have somebody like an assistant to run their social media at all times anyway, at least their main public account. That way that you don't even run the risk of this. And let's be real too. How often or how frequently are you the anonymous face behind your phone screen or behind a computer screen? How often are you actually going to get a response from that WWE superstar that you're sending that DM to or trying to reach out to? It doesn't happen very often at all. So realistically, I don't understand why everyone doesn't have somebody on a team, like an assistant or, you know, just somebody to handle social media, that kind of thing, just to prevent this bullshit.
What if they did have a person?
We would know.
Somebody's getting fired.
Yeah, and we would.
Somebody's getting fired.
Of course, that's something like, you know.
But yeah, I mean, Steve, you brought up a great point though, and I love this point. And that's, look what Shohei is going through with his translator.
Absolutely.
It's crazy, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. And you know, it's I don't know if we've reached the point of no return when it comes to freedom of speech. I can only imagine how, Rob, you have to navigate the waters of freedom of speech with your public appearances and things that you do. Just because it seems like as if we're living in the oppression Olympics, everyone is just trying to see who can be offended.
I will say this. And I guess for the sake of explaining, I guess, and making sense of what I went through, somebody at an open mic, a black girl in an open mic, shouted, "Oh, Mr. Trump, you could call me N-word." Now, that is, what do you do on that one? Because she's drunk and laughing her ass off. The right. friend to the right of her is a producer. The girl to the right of her, I don't know. Three black women in a row. The first two I know are on board. This is a joke that they it's like a trap they sprung open. And they're like, here's a trap. And the first two are in. But that third one, she's sitting next to them. She's in their proximity. I don't know that she doesn't roll with them, but and she's not dressed like they are. She's dressed like she works like a librarian. She's got the freaking, you know, old, you know, the cat eye glasses, and she's got on a, you know, big dress. And I fall for the trap and I go, oh, she said I could say it. She said I could say it. And then I go on a rant. The third girl gets up and storms out and goes, I never. Now, the other two went, I'm so sorry. Didn't want to get you in trouble. Okay. I'm embarrassed. Go to the host. I apologize. They're all sitting in a group. Those two are laughing. Third one storms out and goes, I never. I just wanted to enjoy myself and I'm so offended. And you set us back 50 years. She's going way over the top. I went from, I'm sorry to, all right, calm the hell down, you know? So, but that got to escalated over the course of a month and got to a promoter a day before I was to go on a show with 100 some odd people a day before. And doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. Doesn't matter. So you got to be very careful because, I mean, look at it. Think about what's his name? Drew Gulak. He got fired for pulling Ronda Rousey's drawstring playfully. We don't know the context. We don't know the degree.
Wait. See, but this is the point of this whole thing. And I think this is the brilliance of what you just brought up. And that is, you think it.
We don't know.
And it's also been said since his release that the guy is a dickhead who has done other things.
Right.
Exactly.
And then Hunter comes out and says, we didn't fire him. His contract just wasn't renewed.
Yeah.
It's a nice little.
Notice how nothing really was said about him before this incident. You bring up a great point there. Like, no one really said anything about Gulak until this happened. And then everybody piled on. Oh, this guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the thing, you'll never know. And that's the other thing. Right. Tiffany Stratton could have freaking been an associate, professor at Howard University, the one white chick who got in there. You don't know. She could be the most, she could have adopted like 50 kids from, Zimbabwe. You don't know. Now what is her, are you going to forever brandish her as, or you'll brand her as this person that said it? I'm not going to, but here was the one that did bite people in the ass. Was Blanchard, Tessa Blanchard, wins her belt, and then you find out, oh, she said racist stuff about black people. Now TNA was in this position. Well, we can't dump her. We just put all of our money into the first women's heavyweight champion over all the men. Great match with Sami Callihan. What do we do now? We're going to have to sweep that one under the rug, and then you found out other things, and she had the horrible work ethic, and she didn't want to leave me, and you go, But I don't think that's the case with Tiffany Stratton. I don't know enough about her. I don't want to pass a judgment on her. She's too new. She's right out of the wrapper. She's doing well in the ring. She's
you're all just missing the point. Tiffany Stratton is just a white bitch.
Where's the outrage?
No, I mean, but Tiffany, you know what happens is, and you can, and Daryl can even tell you from working with, working with like a technology, these companies want you to promote their technology and social media. Would you agree, Daryl?
Yeah.
They want you to promote their technology. So they want you to hit up social media platforms and promote their products. She's probably giving an edicts. All right. Yes. You've trained, you've worked out, you've gone in the ring. You've done some, test matches if you even need to. Now I need you to promote yourself on social media. Well, how do I do that? Figure it out. You should know how to do that. That's part of your job, too, is to figure out how to promote yourself. You've been in the indies. You've been doing this your entire career up so far. We need you to do this. We need you to step your game out. You should know how to do this. I want you to make a viral video. I want you to do something that's going to catch people's attention and be raw and be edgy.
I got to move over. I got to move over to the next topic. But sorry, look, let me just say this. I just think, just in general, and this is just not for Tiffany, it's for all of us in general, should be careful as to, you should always think before you go on to your post. When you post something on there, just know you're posting something for everybody to see, which people from that point are going to have whatever opinion that they're going to think about that, okay? And different people are going to are going to feel a certain way about certain things. If I was Tiffany Stratton, and if I did hear the video, as a white woman, would I feel okay posting something hearing someone go black bitch? I probably wouldn't. Now, in your mind, you might go, oh, yeah, that sounds like something that would be great. I guess that depends on where you are in your life. Andre asked a good question. What was Tiffany trying to accomplish with the post? We don't know. You know, at the same time, it's that I don't think that it should have been to the point where she should be let go or whatever. It's a learning experience. But be careful in general. That's all I'm saying. When you want to go through and you want to start posting things, does this make sense? What am I trying to accomplish when I do that? Does it make me sense? Does it make sense me saying that? You know,
one thing that none of us brought up, though. No one has heard what Jade thought about it.
Right. Oh. And everybody's. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
So
everybody's getting butthurt.
Yeah, and by the way,
her class, you know.
And by the way, Bianca just had a great match with her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that could have been like, no, we're not having it. We could have went down the entire Sasha rabbit hole or whatever that it happened.
Oh God, okay. Let's not go down Sasha's rabbit hole, please. No, yeah.
But the point being made, though, yeah, if it was definitely out of line, you can guarantee that would not have, that match would not have happened, and there would have been a lot of other things taking place. But you know, we'll move on.
So what you're saying is the two women should just scissor and make up.
All right. So let's get to our second count here. Jesus Christ. Let's go. All right. Brian Danielson says doctors have told him he needs surgery pretty soon. This is from WrestlingHeadlines.com. It says in a digital exclusive released after AEW Saturday Night Doubleheader on TNT, which featured new tape episodes, AEW Collision, AEW Rampage. From the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon, Brian Danielson revealed that he's been told by doctors that he would need surgery, quote, pretty soon. And Danielson confirmed the unfortunate news in a backstage digital exclusive segment after he and FTR duo of Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler defeated the team of the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer, and the Righteous team of Dutch and Vincent in trios action in the main event of the 5/18 episode or March 18th episode of AEW Collision. And after that bout, the heel trio would attack the babyface trio, which are set to represent Team AEW alongside Darby Allin against the Elite at Anarchy in the Arena at AEW Double or Nothing. The attack left Dex Harwood and Cash Wheeler injured as the show went off the air and despite Dan Garcia's attempt at rescue. Now, let's see. God dang, he's just really going over the entire match. Why don't you talk more about what Danielson said?
He has to make the quota of words to get paid.
All right, so just...
Of course.
Yeah, pretty much. So let me jump to this part here. It says that Danielson continued, quote, then I watched the next week as they took out Kenny Omega, hospitalized him, and he's already sick. When he's already hurt, you were supposed to change the world together. That's how I know you guys say you're good Christian boys, but you guys are evil because you turn their backs on their best friends like that. And that's when I realized I can't stay at home anymore. I can't rehab anymore. I have to come back and I have to fight. I have to fight for AEW because I love this place. You guys say you want to change the world. You won't even show up on Saturday. They only want to work one day a week and they only want to run this place. Anybody on heaven forbid, anybody stand up to them. Heaven forbid, anybody stand up and say what I just said. And they're lazy, that they only want to work one day a week. Then they put a price on our heads. Go ahead, put a price on my head. I've had a lot of people, a lot of stronger than you, a lot more powerful than you, put prices on my head. I'm still here. Anarchy in the Arena. You guys better come for a fight. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do. Young Bucks, Jack Perry, Okada. I'm going to spin your face because I use to respect you and I don't respect you anymore. So, all right, I guess he's saying all that to say what? He's going to still fight despite the fact that he needs some sort of surgery. Let me go over to you, Rob. What is your take?
At the top of the article, it talks about that he has the upper vertebrates in his neck are damaged. And what I'm gathering from this is, how is this guy going to make it to Wembley? If it's not a work, and he really is as hurt as he is, and he's been injured all freaking year and a half long, You've got too many stories wrapped around him finishing off this last season of his career. So,
yeah, and let me stop. I'm sorry about that. I guess I probably should have read it. God dang, he just talked so long. I don't know why he just didn't. They just didn't really. I guess, like Matt said, he needs to know all the words. But let me get that. Let me put it on there. This says, he says, I got shooting pains down my arm, and I'm at home, and I have to go get MRIs. I have a compression of the nerve root at C6, C7, and C7, T1. And then I've got this shooting pain that's running down my arm and it won't go away. And the doctors are telling me pretty soon I'm going to have surgery. All right. Sorry about that. I wanted to get that.
That's the important part. That was the part. If he's really that hurt and this is supposed to be his last run as a wrestler, we're not going to get the best of him. We're not going to have him out on top. We're not going to have Banger. He's giving Banger matches, but you don't want to see this guy in the wheelchair at the bingo hall signing autographs like, you know, fucking Lex Luger. I don't know what his goal is. I would rather have seen him stretch it out over a couple of more years and just meter out his matches. The other problem I have with this is it makes the Blackpool Combat Club look really silly to have your main guy be in NJPW, doesn't show up that often, and now they just threw Moxley into the Double or Nothing. You've got Claudio Castagnoli is kind of rudderless. Wheeler Yuta's gone too with injury. So you have what could have been a really good, dangerous faction of elite guys, but none of them are there. And he is like that character Bill, where he's like, oh no, I'm hurt again. Him and Darby Allin are getting beaten up constantly, and they get there's no payoff for it. If Darby, you know, if him or Darby Allin injured themselves in the line, you know, in the match, and they leave with a belt, but they're just there to put other guys over. Yeah. Do I need to have this guy break his neck to put somebody else over? Do I really care that he's getting injured so he could put Will Ospreay over? You know, the more you do this, the less credible an opponent he looks like.
Let me go. Yeah, I got you, and it does make sense. Sin City Steve, John here makes a good point. He says, Danielson, as well as Moxley, Omega, Phoenix, amongst others, are showing at the Car Crash Spot Fest matches. That speaks to the New Japan and indie fans, is showing how it's negatively impacting the long-term health of the talent. What is your thought on that, along with what we heard about Danielson?
So John brings up a great point, you know, as a fan, it's all too easy for us to sit here and, you know, pontificate about, oh, well, this match was amazing. And, you know, they did so much stuff and it looked like they were really hitting each other, yada, yada. Well, yeah, that's one side of it. But the side that we don't see is, unfortunately, the side that Bryan Danielson is currently dealing with. The greatest in-ring wrestler of our time is now reduced to having a compression of the nerve at C6, 7, and C7, T1, among many other things. Seemingly every big match that Bryan Danielson wrestles ends in him having some sort of an injury angle. And, you know, obviously the Dynasty match with Ospreay is the latest example of it. But it's not an isolated thing. This is something that he's played into on numerous occasions. And, you know, it truly is like the boy who cried wolf, because, okay, he's doing these injury angles at the end of these matches. What happens when he actually gets really fucking hurt? Are we going to believe that it's a work as well? And I think that that's something that he needs to take some time away. As much as he wants to work Wembley, as much as, you know, they've been building this match between he and Nigel McGuinness. I don't know if that's going to be able to happen this year because of Danielson and his health being such an issue. It's really sad to see what's gone down with Brian. He's still putting on banger matches, like what you've said, but
he's comes getting time banged. When they destroyed his orbital socket, his neck.
Exactly. There comes a time when he has to think about what's in his best interest for the long term, not just of his career, but for the rest of his life.
Yeah. You know,
retiring was for him to be with his daughter, who's 7 years old and doesn't have a dad around.
Right.
Brie Bella's going to be bringing him around in a freaking cart.
In a fucking wheelchair, man.
You know, Matt Michaels, you know, I often when I watch WWE, it's funny because, you know, when we watch a lot of the matches that they have, you know, I like to call them, you know, a lot of the moves are safe moves. They're safe matches. Sometimes when you watch them, they even could be a little bit annoying. I often complain about I love John Cena, but I hate that shoulder move he does. It's just like, why don't you do something else instead of the shoulder? Then, you know, you do. But the reality of it is that, you know, you're being safe out there, so you don't have to throw it all on the line. And now your main guy gets injured. And I don't know, what is your take, man, when you hear about what's happened to Bryan Danielson and the fact that, you know, look, this guy's had surgery before, and we're back there again. What's your take?
Well, unfortunately, unlike, let's say, football or, you know, a traditional sport, right? Sports have shelf lives, and that's for good reason, right? Because you're actually competitively trying to win, and if you can't perform, no one's going to pay you to be out there. To right. You know, hurt yeah. the team. This is entertainment. I still don't understand why any motherfucker who gets into this business doesn't understand that this is entertainment. It's not about who's the best fucking wrestler in the world. It's about who's the most entertaining person, and round it all together. You know, not just your matches, not just your mic skills, not just your look, not just your presence. You know, everything. What makes you, and what's your goal? Because to continue doing this, you know, look at Sting in his fucking mid 60s. Why? Mm-hmm. You don't, you know, and he's one who got away with doing it longer because he figured out he didn't have to put his body through so much shit that whole time. And yet he's mentoring the idiot who's, you know, running into buses and doing whatever the fuck else he's doing.
Right.
You know, it's tough because the fact of the matter is that Bryan and Cena started at the same time. All right. Relatively almost exactly the same time. John only really got seriously injured once in his career. Had, you know, some nagging injuries and some lighter injuries, you know, but maintained fairly healthy and transitioned. Not like a Nyla Rose transition, but transitioned to Hollywood. The Rock transitioned to Hollywood. Austin hurt his neck to the point where he couldn't wrestle anymore. And since his neck has been better, he's only wrestled once and was very cautious about that match. Worked with someone who could, you know, in KO, who could, you know, make sure he protected him. But Steve found other things to do and used that persona and that built character and that brand to actually have a life after pro wrestling. That's the whole thing. Get
does
out of
Miz it. Not the Miz. Does Danielson not think he's going to have anything waiting for him outside of pro wrestling?
He doesn't want anything waiting for him outside of pro wrestling. That yeah. motherfucker wants to die in the ring.
That's what he said. He goes, point. I asked Vince, can you let me bleed? I want to bleed. That was a conversation he had with Vince. I want to bleed in the ring. Please. And they wouldn't do it because that was the, you know, the rated G or whatever you want to call it, which is why he went to AEW.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's it. It just comes down to the fact that some of these guys, and let's face it. What you don't want to be is you don't want to be Eddie Guerrero, right? Someone who unfortunately died early because your body was put through so much stress And in his case, it was, you know, through his substance abuse as well as performing, right? You don't want to be Chris Benoit, you know? And who's to say that Danielson at some point doesn't fucking snap because he's got so many brain contusions or whatever? You know, these guys who played football and have had the CTE, they, you know, they end up killing themselves because they're not their same selves.
Yeah.
That's the next phase of this. It's like, we're worried about, oh, can he wrestle? Will he not wrestle? Should he stop? Blah, blah. It's like, yeah, go be a fucking dad, dude.
I'll be okay if he's not wrestling anymore. I'm not, I'll be, it'll be a little sad, but I'd be happier to see a post with him with his family. Like when Matt Hardy posts a wholesome picture with his whole family and Mr. Benjamin, the gardener dude, I'm like, nice. That wasn't kayfabe. That guy's got a job with him. But I'm also happy to see
that his father-in-law there, buddy.
Oh, that's who Mr. Benjamin is?
Yeah.
Oh, Senior Benjamin. All right, all right.
Oh, but, my God, you are a racist.
Don't cancel me, shit. That was somebody else who said that.
You know what? We're going to go ahead and let you go, Boss Larry. We thank you for your services on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, and you know, your services are no longer needed.
Wish you the best in your future endeavors.
We're going to send this tape to a couple of promoters in town.
All right, let's move over into
to Calvin. Hey, man, I believed it, man. They told a good story, man. I believed it. I'm a mark.
Oh, Jesus. Calvin, to count three. Saudi GEA chairman says they are talking about bringing the WWE Royal Rumble to Saudi Arabia in 2026-27. This is from Fightful.com. All right, and it reads that it's an update to the WWE Royal Rumble potentially going to Saudi Arabia. Oh, I'm not going to even try to read that. But the chairman of Saudi Arabia's General Entertainment Authority told Mike Coppinger of ESPN earlier this month that an enhancement of Saudi Arabia's current agreement with WWE would be announced later in the month, and that they're looking to bring WrestleMania or Royal Rumble to Saudi Arabia. And then appearing on the MMA Hour with Ariel Hawani, I guess I'll try to say his name. Ali Sheik was asked if the 2025 Royal Rumble was possibly noting what WrestleMania 41 would be ruled out as it's been announced as taking place in Las Vegas. And Ali Sheik said, quote, we are talking around 26-27, end quote. We're talking years there. And in March 2018, WWE and Saudi agreed to a 10-year partnership, and WWE has annually hosted multiple events per year in Saudi Arabia as part of the agreement. And of course, WWE will return to Saudi Arabia on May 24th for WWE SmackDown and May 25th for WWE King and Queen of the Ring. WWE President Nick Khan previously stated that the big four WWE events, which includes Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, are not expected to be hosted outside of North America. And you can find, okay. So, Boss Larry, what is your take on this, man? You got your ticket. You ready to go to Saudi Arabia in 2026?
I don't want to watch Royal Rumble there, and I'll tell you why. Because you're going to have Women's Royal Rumble, and I don't think that's the way they treat women, the way they're going to have them come out in the ring. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I'm looking for half-naked women, but to have 30 women coming out in, like, fucking full rubber body suits, it's a little silly. I would find it just not that – would not be a good venue for them. That would not be a good venue for them. They would not have the freedom to wrestle or perform the way that they would like to, unencumbered. I genuinely don't think that would be the right venue, Royal Rumble. I do appreciate that they're taking it a little bit more seriously and having winners decided there. So far, all of these shows that they've done in how do you pronounce it, Rita, Saudi yeah. Arabia. Have been joke matches. We already knew the outcomes. So, not bad. Seth Rollins won his World Heavyweight Championship in Saudi Arabia. I don't mind it. It is what it is. But it takes it away from the Americans for certain. And it takes, that's a big problem. It's, I'm not going to go over there. I'm not going to go to Lyon's, France. I'm not going to go in any of these places. Fine.
Well, and I mean, not only that, I mean, listen, I at some point, maybe I will finally give in to watching one of those events, but I, at the moment, don't. I don't watch it because, you know,
you're going to have to when you fly there for WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, here's the question.
Only for night two, though.
Do you go? Yeah, only for night.
You're going to have to have some of those Saudi cheesesteaks there.
That's not steak.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's Matt Michaels.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a no for me. I'll be watching Mania, I guess, at somebody's house when they make that decision to go. Yeah, man. You know, and it really sucks because I want to watch, you know, I mean, this coming pay-per-view, I will love this to watch it, man. But, you know, man, just knowing, I don't know. I understand that money sometimes, I know it makes the world go around and, you know, it is what it is. But listen, when what happened at that very first, you know, year they went in there, I really wish WWE took a better stand, I would just say. And they didn't. And I'm right now, when it comes to that particular show, I just read the reviews and I'm sure it's going to be pretty good as they're putting everything together for the, you know, King and Queen of the Ring. But
Sami Zayn really humanized that one when he came out in the garb and he spoke to the local. He was the weather vane of this. He was like the, you know, the temperature, like, all right, what is Zayn doing? Because if he goes, great, because he didn't want to go that first time, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he didn't go. He didn't go for most of the first two, 3 years.
Yeah,
he's only.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe at some point, you know, I have to be like, all right, look, let you know. But right now, I'm not there yet. You know, maybe for Mania, that's when I'll say, okay, fuck it. So I'll watch it.
I'll give in and watch it.
But it'd be hard to not. But
I'll go there for you, and I will eat as many falafels as I can.
Ah, there you go.
We'll have a falafel count.
All right, let me move over to you, Sin City. What's your thoughts hearing about possibly the Royal Rumble? I mean, this is, you know, it's always a debate in terms of what's the top two, what comes at the number two show. Is it SummerSlam? Is it Rumble? It goes back and forth. Everyone kind of has their, but no matter what, you know, it's a big show. It doesn't, you know, no matter if you put it number two or three, it's a big show. What's your take of hearing that Saudi Arabia might get one of those positions?
Well, if the dollar figures are accurate, obviously they're getting paid $50 million a year right now for the Saudi shows that they're doing. $50 million. So if I can only imagine what it would be if they give them an APLE. You know, if they give them, you know, something beyond what they've had so far, you got to figure that dollar amount is going to double, maybe even triple. So if you're WWE, yeah, hell yeah. I'll take a check from, I'll take the bloodiest check possible from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for $100 million for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But obviously it goes back to the thing that, albeit you and I have completely different stances on things, at least we agree on the fact that we don't watch the Saudi shows. So I'm
Steve,
right there.
You don't watch it because it's WWE.
Shh.
First of all, anyway, you know, somewhere, you know, Vince McMahon somewhere is going, I know a lot about writing bloody checks.
Either that, bloody, or I was getting chips? Bloody checks.
Bloody packs.
Oh man.
Oh god. But yeah, I think that you know, if they do something like this to where they bring the Royal Rumble there, it's just a matter of time. We saw the overwhelming fan response for a completely B-level show such as Backlash. You know, they did the 1 year that they had it in Puerto Rico, and then now they just finished up with the show in France. The international fans and the international crowds are going apeshit because they've never had this opportunity before to see these high quality matches. And I think that this is something that we as an American audience will have to just deal with, because it's something that's going to happen, because they are the World Wrestling Entertainment Company. You know, they can't just cater exclusively to the US like what they have for so often.
Yeah.
I think that we are going to see them open up the floodgates, and we're going to see truly a worldwide phenomenon and more fans going to WWE shows in 2025 and beyond than we ever have.
No doubt. Matt Michaels, what's your take, man?
Well, you know, I'm not really an expert on this stuff, but I just happen to have someone here who is an expert. There he is.
No.
Yep.
Greetings.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ahmed. Are you scared? Silence! I kill you!
Oh, Lord.
So that's pretty much, I think, how it's going to go if WrestleMania goes over there or Royal Rumble.
Flesh wound.
Ooh. So.
Well, here's that.
The ratings will explode.
In more ways than one.
All right.
I just think about those Twin Towers. Oh, man. Akeem, Boss Man. Never forget.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Michaels, you've been on one tonight, man.
Yeah, you worried about I'm getting cow? Am I getting canceled before this
I was looking for this button.
Shame.
There it is.
Shame.
Yeah.
What happened to my feet?
Anyway. All right, man. As always, thank everybody for hanging out with us for our three count. And we love doing what we do here. And we thank
you said that begrudgingly.
You say what?
You said that begrudgingly. You're like, I love what we do here.
Yeah. You know, at the way it's looking right now, it's just going to be Impact and Sin City's show. So, you know.
All right.
Couple of layoffs in two nights, you know. It's we'll get the job done, Sin City.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. I am going to sue for ball discrimination.
Oh, man. Well, hey, then Matt might jump onto that lawsuit as well, you know. So there you go.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Anyway, thanks for hanging out with us. Appreciate you. Let me move over and give your final thoughts for the week. Let me move over to you. I'll go with you, Sin City. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, all the stuff that you guys do. Great participation in the chats tonight. Thank you. We appreciate each and every one of you. Very special shout out to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. Last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Again, that's repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%.
All right. Let me move over to you, Mr. Rob. What you got going on, man?
Apparently nothing now.
Will someone reinstate him, please?
If I am not mistaken, and I got to get my times correct, on June 7th, there should be at Notoriety a Shock Collar comedy show. Mm-hmm. So I should be at that 18 Bin, unless otherwise noted. I'm still going to be at 18 Bin this week doing my Trump thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out in remembrance to my brother, Brian, who'd passed the other day. He was a big wrestling fan. He'd come here once or twice. And when I did my old wrestling podcast with my buddy Marcus Dietz, He was a regular. We love you. We miss you. I'm sure you're getting to enjoy some shows up in heaven. So thank you much.
No doubt, man. All right. Matt Michaels.
Well, what am I going to say? The guy's talking about his dead brother. So,
I set the expectations. You have to behave yourself.
You got to be nice.
Oh, man. Sorry.
If it was any consolation, he was also light skinned and bald.
Well, in that case, God bless him. I hope he's enjoying himself up there or down there or wherever we go when we go there.
Oh, boy.
When you go down there, God bless him.
I'm just saying, like, with, you know, I'm sure Mrs. Cardgill, Boss Larry Gill, would enjoy.
Boss Larry Gill.
All right, God. I guess that's a great time to end. All right, man. Thank you. Hey, we appreciate y'all. We see y'all next time. Happy wrestling.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.